The Suzuki DRZ250 was only made for a handful of years, but I want to share with you a few reasons why I think it's a hidden gem if you're at least 5'6" tall and are looking for a budget-friendly beginner trail bike. Number one, the engine is super beginner-friendly for a few reasons. It's 250cc, dual overhead cam, air-cooled, four-stroke engine. This makes really good, smooth power from idle all the way up to about 8,000 RPM. And this makes it really easy to learn how to use the clutch on, because when you're just starting out in first gear, you're slowly letting out the clutch. It's very smooth and controllable, whereas a 250 enduro bike with snappy power, you're gonna have to give it more gas, slip the clutch, and it's gonna be really jerky. Or the DRZ 250, it's, and with a shorter gearing, it's a little more forgiving when using the clutch to get going, because you only have to be going like 4 miles an hour to put your feet up on the pegs and let the clutch all the way out. Whereas an enduro bike, you gotta be going like 6 or 7 miles an hour before you can put your feet on the pegs and start riding. It has a 6-speed manual transmission, which makes it pretty versatile. First gear is low enough to do tight single track trails, while 6th gear is good for cruising down gravel roads without winding the engine out to really high. The engine makes about 25 horsepower, which may not seem like a lot, but it's plenty for basically any trail rider, because that number actually isn't important. It's the torque and the numbers below that peak power that really make the difference, because in order to make that 25 horsepower, you have to be holding the throttle open and holding it at that 8,000 RPM or wherever it makes that peak power. And how often are you going to do that on the trails? Not very often. So you got to be looking at the power or the torque from 2,000 all the way up to 6 or 8,000 RPM, because that's where you're going to be spending most of your time, at eighth turn to quarter turn throttle and low to mid-range RPM. And that's where this bike really shines, because it doesn't stall out easily and it's not super jerky no matter what RPM you're riding at. And this makes it more controllable and less exhausting, so you can ride longer without needing to death grip the bars and feel like you're riding out of control or potentially whiskey throttling. Although that has to do with your body position as well, which I show you how to do in this video. Top speed is about 65 miles an hour, but that doesn't really matter if you're trail riding, because you're only gonna be going 5, 10, 20 miles an hour on average. Although it does have a headlight, so if you can register it for the road in your state or country, it can be a decent town bike as well, or if you need to get it plated to be able to ride to the trails. Moving to the suspension, the DRZ 250 has adjustable suspension, which is really nice compared to the Honda XR250R, which is one of its competitors back in the day. The rear shock, you can adjust the sag, which is pretty typical on bikes, and this is important for getting the right ride height, because if the rear end is too low or too high, this will greatly affect the handling of the bike as well as the traction. But you also have some damping adjustments, so you got the clickers where you can turn them in or out to slow down or speed up the damping. And this is just kind of a fine-tuning adjustment to make it more comfortable for your weight or riding style. Although you do need to have the right spring rate in the forks and shock before you do that, otherwise it's not gonna make much difference. The DRZ can handle anywhere from like 150 to a 200 pound-ish rider, depending on how you ride. It'll be a little bit soft, but if you're riding at slow speeds, the soft suspension will absorb them a lot better than a faster enduro bike, because they need to be ridden faster to be able to soak up those bumps. So the plush DRZ suspension is going to absorb them better, you're going to have better traction, and you're not going to get exhausted because the bike is bouncing around all over the place. The DRZ has electric start and kickstart, something that is very unique to the 250cc air-cooled class trail bike, where the Honda XR250 only had kickstart, or the Yamaha TTR250 has electric start, or like the newer Honda CRF250F only has electric start. So you got the easy button, and if for some reason the battery goes dead, you have the backup kickstart. Moving on to the seat height, it's 35 inches, which isn't as tall as the full-size enduro bikes, which are 36 to 38 inches, which makes it low enough for someone that's around my height, 5'6", if you don't mind a little bit bigger of a bike. But since it's a little bit wider, a little bit longer than, say, like the CRF 230F or the TTR 230, it's a little bit more stable. And with it being wider, it's going to feel a little bit bigger, so you won't feel as cramped on it if you're over 6 feet tall. And with the longer wheelbase, it's going to be a little bit more stable going over bumpy terrain or whoops or logs. It's not going to throw you back and forth as much as like the 230 or smaller trail bike. Now, the weight of the DRZ 250 is probably the only thing holding it back, in my opinion. A wet weight, which is all the fluids necessary and the gas to go out for a trail ride. It's around 288 pounds, I believe. And this is a little over 20 pounds heavier than the new CRF 250F, or like 6 pounds heavier than the KLX 300R. So if you're looking for a lightweight trail bike, the DRZ might not be the right choice. But if you don't mind a little bit more stability, that extra weight can help kind of keep you going in those slower sections. And that extra weight is due to being made for a bigger rider. So if you're over 200 pounds, it's going to be able to handle you with the weight and the power. Now, how about reliability? Well, Suzuki based this off of one of their previous air-cooled trail bikes, so they already have this engine proven out. So it's going to be reliable as long as you do simple maintenance, like oil changes, keeping the air filter clean. It's going to last for many years to come. So it's a great choice if you want a low maintenance bike compared to like a enduro bike, which is going to require more frequent maintenance. Now, if you're looking for one, obviously you're going to have to buy one used. And they were made from, after doing some research, I believe 2001 to 2007. So that's 7 years. And I don't think they made any changes to them all. So just look for the cleanest, best maintained one possible. And what kind of price can you expect? Well, it really depends on where you live, your local market, as well as the condition of the bike and maybe the year and aftermarket parts, but not as much as the first two. So you can expect anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000, depending on those factors. And if you are ready to go look at a used bike, but aren't sure what to look for to know if it's a good deal or not, or if it's going to need a rebuild, you should check out this video here where I break down a simple checklist so that you can be confident in what you're buying. I'm Kelly Fager from Motocross Hideout. Learn more, ride more.